Hi, morning everyone. My name's Craig Boerta and I'm a member of Grace Generation Church, and it's a huge privilege for me to bring the second message in our Jonah series to you. Masala gave a great introduction last week, and so as we come to God's Word, let's just pray together and we'll jump straight in. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your Word this morning, and we thank you for this wonderful, colorful, exciting, and instructive story of the prophet Jonah. And we pray as we come to your Word this morning, you would have your way amongst us and you would speak to our hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And so I'm just going to be reading the first six verses from Jonah. He's a minor prophet in the Old Testament, and we're going to read from chapter 1 and verses 1 to 6. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare and went on board to go with him to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and laid down and fell asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call on your God. Perhaps the God will give us a thought that we may not perish.'" And so this is a great historic story, a narrative, and it's also a great book on mission. God stirring the prophet Jonah to go and preach to Nineveh. And it's really a story about a sovereign God who works so powerfully in our own lives in order to get us to reach the nation and reach the cities of our world. And so it's just a very relevant book for us at this time, as God is at work within us and resetting things in the church to prepare us for the coming revival that He has planned for us. We preached through this book a number of years ago when we first started out as a church on mission, and it really helped us in many ways, and I'm trusting it'll do so again. And so Masala gave a great introduction to us last week. He said it's a book about God's grace, about love for enemies, about race, identity, and mission. And he ended off by saying, "Are you going to be a bridge builder in the hands of God, or allow a shallow sense of identity to cripple your capacity to be a bridge builder?" And so this morning, I want to continue and talk about Jonah on the run, our preacher on the run. That's the title of my message. And so I'm going to give a fairly long introduction and then 2 points towards the end by way of application. And so my first part of my introduction is, as we look at the book, we really see God at work in this book, working in Jonah so that he can work through Jonah. And that's really what the Lord is up to in these days. He's working in the hearts of his children, in the church, to produce resilient disciples who will be obedient and get ready for global mission. Because God is on the move and he cares about the cities of the world, and he wants to reach them with the gospel of his son Jesus Christ. And so we are called to really love our city and to reach our city. You may not like your city, because your city may look and feel a bit like Nineveh, but we're called to love our city. And we call to reach out to our city, because God really cares for the cities of the world. And we'll pick up more on that later when we come to Jonah reaching Nineveh. And so, as Masala was saying last week, the situation in Nineveh seemed hopeless. Their evil had come up towards the Lord. That word evil is the same word for disaster. And evil does lead to disaster. And the nation had come to a tipping point, really, where God said enough is enough. And he was about to judge the nation. And judgment was coming, yet we also see God powerfully at work. And we see in chapter 3 that there's tremendous revival as the entire city, 120,000 people, turn to God in repentance. And so it's probably the biggest revival in Scripture. And John is in the midst of that as a reluctant preacher. And so as we apply that already to our own situation, we've said before that COVID and this pandemic is really God's megaphone, as God wakes people up, and wakes cities up to the reality of our frailty and vulnerability and the fact that we don't have all the answers. And we need God. We need the gospel. And so in the midst of the darkness and the upheaval, there's tremendous opportunity for the gospel. And so when you see the chaos, I would encourage you to look for the harvest. God is at work. And so we see in this book God powerfully at work in the nations. And he's continuing to do that today. And we need to keep our eyes on the cities and the nations of this world during this time of great upheaval. But we also see ourselves in this book, and how similar we are to Jonah and how God in his grace deals with us. Jonah's my favorite prophet. I identify with him very much. He loves preaching. He loves the Lord. He loves the sea. He loves big fish. And he's also up and down sometimes. And so I can identify with him. But he was also a prophet. And what was a prophet? A prophet was someone who really heard from God. And in the Old Testament, the prophet spoke to the nation, mostly the nation of Israel. And God used them to bring correction and bring people back to himself. In the New Testament, we also have prophets in the New Testament as gifts to the church. And they don't speak to the nation as much as speaking to the church. In the nations. And so we need these gifts because they have the ability to hear from God and to speak forth what God is saying. And the Bible says if you receive a prophet because they are a prophet, you'll get a prophet's reward. And so Jonah is used by the Lord even though he has issues in his life. He has idols in his life. He was incredibly nationalistic. He was racist. He hated the Assyrians. He also had areas of brokenness in his life. And yet God worked with him. And so this is really a story about Jonah's meltdown and Jonah's backsliding and his reluctant mission trip and how God sticks with him and how God uses him through it all. And so it's tremendously encouraging for us to know that God does that with us, that he pursues us, and sometimes even violently through storms and big fish and all sorts of things, because he loves us and he wants to get us not only to be obedient but on mission. And so we see that Jonah's correction is not rejection, but it's really to give him fresh direction as God begins to speak to him and move him onwards and onto mission. And so it's important for us to realize that, because sometimes the issues we have in our lives are only highlighted when we get moving. You don't realize your car may have engine trouble until you put it on the road. You don't discover that when it's sitting in the garage. And so God brings the word to Jonah about mission, and as he does that, things begin to surface very radically in Jonah's life. And so if you have issues in your own life, as we all do, then you're in good company. And I would encourage you to realize, as I do, that we're all a work in progress. And so don't be too surprised or depressed with yourself, because God is still working out his purposes in our lives. And I'd encourage us also to give Jonah some slack as well. I think he's not just running away from Nineveh because he hates the Assyrians, who were Israel's enemies, but as a prophet, he also had insight and foresight, and he could see what God was up to, and he knew that God was wanting him to go to Nineveh because the Lord wanted to be compassionate ultimately to that nation, and that in a few years' time, the Lord was going to use the Assyrians to discipline and to severely chastise Israel themselves. And so he didn't want to go to see the salvation of a people that were later going to come and destroy his own people. And so sometimes prophets struggle with issues because they see things others may not see. And we see that with Jonah. And we see that he says that in chapter 4. He says to the Lord, "Lord, is not this what I said when I was in my own country, that you were going to be gracious to these people?" He said, "Didn't I tell you this was going to happen?" And so he had understanding, and he's wrestling with the Lord, trying to work out how can God, who's just and good, how can he be merciful to such an evil people? And we see this comes out in his preaching as well, where he really has a message just to them of judgment. You know, you better turn or you're going to burn. Thankfully, in the New Testament, we come into a whole understanding of the gospel, where God does call us to repentance, and God still hates sin, and God is still a consuming fire. The fire's not gone out, but we shielded from it because Jesus took our place. We shielded because of the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. But Jonah didn't know that. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, that God sent his son and Jesus was crucified that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. And God is amazing. And so we can learn from Jonah, and we can learn about ourselves, friends, as well, by learning from this man. This man Jonah, who was unable to do what God called him to do because he didn't really trust God. It was too painful to do what God had called him to do. And so he removes himself from God's presence, and he backslides because he doesn't believe he'll be happy and fulfilled doing what God has called him to do. The last thing he wanted to do was to rise up and go and preach. He preferred to just sit in Israel or to be a tourist in Tarshish and enjoy the beach and visit the malls. There were also no Assyrians in Tarshish. And so he runs away from God's assignment for his life, and he becomes a disguised believer. He keeps a low profile so that even on the boat, no one knew about him. Jonah's happy to be an object himself of God's mercy, but he doesn't want to be an agent of God's mercy to others. And so he runs away from the presence of the Lord. He's still saved, but he's not walking in obedience with the Lord. He's out of fellowship with the Lord, and he runs down to Joppa and down into a ship and down below deck and eventually down into the ocean and down into a whale before he finally turns back to the Lord. And friends, when we run from God, there'll always be a boat waiting for you. And you'll always have money for the trip. Some Christians call this confirmation. But your journey will always be downhill. And it'll get harder and harder, and the storms will come. You can never be a happy backslider. Backslider is a Christian term for someone who used to walk with the Lord, but he's slidden away. He's slipped away from the Lord. And Jonah comes to the place eventually where he realizes to trust and obey is the best, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, as it were. And so sometimes God lets you run for a while because he's watching to see if you will be willingly obedient. But eventually he begins to deal with Jonah. And so we learn these things from this book. And we're learning from Jonah because he wrote the book. And so he really has, with all his struggles and all his contradictions, he has a real sense of self-awareness as a leader. And he wrestles this through with the Lord. And I believe the Lord loves that about Jonah. When we're honest with God and we can talk to the Lord, and we find that Jonah starts to come through things because of that. And I encourage you as you listen to this message to learn from the things you go through, and learn through the storms you may go through as well. Are you self-aware? Do you learn from some of the things you experience and go through? Have you learned stuff that God's been wanting to teach you even through this pandemic? You know, perhaps you've known times of meltdown through this pandemic. And great difficulty. I know I have. It's been a challenge. But we need to learn as as Jonah learned from the Lord. Even though he was up and down. Tim Keller says in the first half of the book, Keller wrote a book on Jonah called The Prodigal Prophet. And he says in the first half of the book, he's like the prodigal son from Luke 15. And he's running away from the father. And in the second half of the book, he's like the older brother who obeys, even though he hates it, when God shows kindness to sinners. And I thought that was really insightful. So my question to us this morning in the time we've got left is, what can we build into our lives to prevent us from doing a Jonah? What stabilizes, to quote my friend PJ, what stabilizers are there in this passage to help me during times of great personal and even national upheaval? And I want to suggest a few to us this morning, two main ones really. First of all, make sure that Jesus is your only Lord. That's the biggest stabilizer. Notice it says that Jonah rebelled against the word he received from the Lord, and he ran from the presence of the Lord. He ran from the presence of the Lord. And we should just have a minute's silence right here, because it's a fearful thing when you remove yourself, as it were, from the presence of the Lord. And he runs from God. And he experiences great stress, because a sin for a believer is stressful. And he's disobeying God because the Lord had put his finger on stuff that he was trusting in. He was trusting in his nationality. I am a Hebrew. That's what he told them on the boat. He put his nationality first. And he disliked the Assyrians in particular. And God began to put his finger on those issues. And it was so painful that he ran away. He couldn't cope with what God was trying to do in his life. And so he had one foot on the Lord and one foot on his own cultural identity. And that's why he was so unstable. And so he hears from God on Monday, but he runs on Tuesday. He's asleep in the boat on Wednesday. Then he's mature and sacrificing his life for the sailors on Thursday. Then he's repenting in the whale on Friday. Then he's preaching in Nineveh over the weekend. And then he crashes on Monday morning when the revival breaks out. And then he freaks out again on Tuesday when his pot plant dies. And so he's all over the place. And so we can learn from Jonah, stabilizer number one, make sure you're standing on Christ alone for stability. Keep giving him your heart in order that you may experience stability in your life during uncertain times. Be aware of your own heart. And that also means staying in the presence of God as far as you can, because it's where he speaks to us and it's where he changes us. It says the word of the Lord came to Jonah while he was in the presence of the Lord. He was in that place of relationship, because our faith is not just creedal, it's not just believing doctrine, but it's also relational as we walk with the Lord. And we need to be aware of this, that in his presence there's fullness of joy, and in his presence he speaks to us. And so the presence of God in Hebrew, it literally means God's face. As we behold his face and we commune with him, with our face turn towards him, not looking inward at ourselves, but really looking unto the Lord, and we have fellowship and we have relationship with the Lord. And my identity comes from looking away from myself, looking to the Lord, and finding my stability in him. And so this is what we learn from Jonah as well. It says in the New Testament we all have the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you indwelt by the Spirit of God. But we need to also live, friends, in an awareness of his presence. The Spirit of God in us and upon us. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. And sometimes we do. We feel closer to God. Other times we feel further away from God for various reasons. Often it's sin and disobedience. You're still a believer, but you're not in fellowship. You're not in fellowship with the Lord. And so I would encourage you to be aware of that. Jonah didn't like the word of the Lord, and so he left the presence of the Lord. And we can learn from this as well. We must do our best to keep God's word and his spirit, his presence together, so that we're a people of word and spirit. Notice he heard the word in God's presence. And I would just encourage you to do that. So often today in churches you find that it's difficult to hold on to both. And quite a few churches, I think, and Christians are gravitating more to the Word of God as the senior partner in their lives and neglecting the Spirit of God almost as a junior partner. And I would encourage you not to do that. Be open to God's Word, love His Word, and also be a man and a woman of the Spirit. It says in John 14, verse 21, whoever has my commands, Jesus is talking here about His commands. And really under the New Testament, we're under the commands of Jesus. He says, whoever has them and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. And so as we obey God's word, we find that there's a growing sense of God's presence amongst us as well. And we need to just remember that and keep opening up to God, because God's presence and God's Spirit is a place of transformation for us. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and Paul's writing about the work of the Spirit in our lives, and he says, now, the Lord is the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we with unveiled face, not like Moses in the Old Testament, we have an unveiled face. The law's been taken away. There's no restriction in our relationship with God. We behold the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into His likeness, into His image, from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so God transforms us, and He is at work in our lives. And so practicing God's presence is really an act of faith. It's depending on someone unseen in your life. And it always produces spiritual growth. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll bear much fruit, and God will change you as well. And so it's important for us to realize that, and as I finish this point, also to realize that I need God's presence. I need the power of the Holy Spirit if I'm going to reach my city. You don't just reach your city by understanding the culture. You don't just reach the city by being missional. You reach the city by being full of the Holy Spirit. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in the cities of the world. We seem to have forgotten that sometimes. And we find that the sailors themselves, they spoke to Jonah, but when they saw the storm come to, when they saw the storm stop, when Jonah got thrown into this, when they saw the power of God, they turned and made sacrifices to the Lord. And so we need that as well. But secondly, I would encourage you also to hold on to the Word of God during times of internal and external instability. Notice Jonah, if you read later on in the story, he went back to praying the scriptures in the belly of the whale. He went back to the Psalms, and he prays. He prays from Psalm 18 and Psalm 120. And he talks about all your waves and breakers have passed over me. Psalm 42. He talks about God's presence. Psalm 139. Coming into your holy temple. Psalm 5. The waters closing over me. Psalm 69. My life being rescued from the pit. Psalm 30. My soul faints within me. Psalm 142. Deliverance is from the Lord. Psalm 3. And so we find that he's applying the Psalms in a time of crisis. He obviously knew them by memory. Just as Jesus was perhaps meditating on the book of Deuteronomy when he was in the wilderness being tempted. And so he went back to the scripture. He went back to structure. He knew the Word of God, and he relied on it during a time of crisis. And sometimes, friends, we can be up and down like Jonah, because there's no daily scripture intake into our lives. As Christians, we're busy running around. We come to church on Sunday for a top up, but we really need time with the Lord on a daily basis. We need that time in the morning where we're in His Word and we're praying, or in the evenings. You know, T.D. Jakes calls our morning devotion the breakfast of champions. I think it's a fantastic phrase. And we need to get back to that. We need God's scripture more than ever before, in this chaotic post-truth world. We need it more than ever before. It says this about, the Bible says this about scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm reading it in the Living Bible. It says, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. And so we need God's word desperately at this time. And we find that when Jonah returned to God's word in the belly of the whale, and he came back to God in his prayers, we find that the whale spat him out onto dry ground. And I really believe that the scriptures are part of our dry ground that we desperately need at this time. We need dry ground. Before we begin mission, we need the solidity of God's word. We need to be steeped in God's word as a platform into mission. It's so important for us, and it just adds that solidity into our lives. And I would encourage you to not just be in God's word, but to also gather as far as possible. Yes, observing COVID protocols, but gather with God's people in the church as well to hear God's word with real people. And I just want to say something about the digital church. I just want to say something about online teaching. I listen to lots of sermons online, and it feeds me and helps me in many ways. But we want to continue to do that. We want to continue to upload sermons onto YouTube for those who can't make it or those in other places, and also preach. But I would say, if as far as possible you could gather with the saints, it's so important, because the digital church is not really dry ground. It's fluid. It's digital. And it's comfortable. And we're finding in the West in particular, it's now in competition with the real church, as it were. And people are saying, listen, I don't need to go to church. I can just sit at home in my pajamas, drink some coffee, and listen to, you know, shop around and listen to what's online. And it gets seductive, and it can pull you away. And we find that some people have left the church to go fully digital and may never come back again. And so I'd encourage you, as far as possible, you know, if you need to stay at home, and obviously the reasons, we understand that, but as far as possible, try and gather with people as well. And I know it's sometimes a challenge. I was talking to, my daughter sent me a voice note the other day, and I was listening to the voice note, and I forgot it was a voice note. And while she was talking to me on the voice note, I started talking back to her, and I said, now, hang on, Christy, I just want to say this. And she carried on talking. And I said, no, whoa, I just want to say something. And she carried on talking, and she said, bye, Dad. And I said, hang on. And then I realized, oh, that's a voice note. So, you know, it's you may laugh at that, but it's this world we're living in. You know, was I really talking to her? Was it a voice note? Was that something electronic? And I would encourage you to just be aware of that and put it in its proper place, because there's something physical about Christianity. It's like there was something real about the dry ground that Jonah hit. And it's important. That's why we need to gather with real people. And that's why the church is called the body of Christ. That's why Jesus came in the flesh. That's why the Bible says, how can I love God whom I've not seen if I do not love my brother who I have seen? That's why breaking of bread is a physical corporate thing. It's much more difficult to do that online. That's why marriage is only really consummated through sexual union. That's why I'm awaiting a bodily resurrection. That's why heaven will be this new earth on steroids. And so we must make every effort to come together in this season. It really is our stable dry ground. And finally, not just the scriptures, not just gathering, but also let's also, as I come to a close, let's be open to God's prophetic word as well. And the Lord spoke to Jonah. He said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh and preach against it. And so we need to embrace both of what God has said through his word and what God is saying to us. And there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between expository preaching and the prophetic word. And we need both, even though the scripture is our senior partner. But we need to also be hearing what is God saying to us. What is God saying to us? And we find that the New Testament talks about the importance of prophecy. It actually says that prophecy is the greatest gift. And the greatest of the gifts is prophecy. When God speaks to us sovereignly, and he speaks into our situation, a current word. And you don't often hear that these days. It's almost like the prophetic word is dying. And Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he's talking to Timothy, preparing this young man for ministry, and he says, you've known the scriptures since you were young, so he refers to the scriptures, but then he also says to him, Timothy, I want you to, Timothy 1:18, he says, I entrust you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. And so we use the prophetic word to guide us and to wage warfare. And it's just so important. I would encourage you to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you saying to me this year? What is God saying to our church? What is he saying to you at this time? I know for Shannon and myself, we've kept praying and saying, Lord, why don't you speak to us? Why don't you show us? We're going through a transition in our own lives. And a sense of God's presence and his prophetic word is critical so that we don't step out of his will. And so I would encourage you to look for these areas of his presence, of his word, of the prophetic word, which is the word that comes to you in your situation and guides you and just helps you to be stabilized, to know what to do, and also to be sufficiently self-aware, just to be open and humble about what God's doing in your life. And so as I conclude this morning, I've run out of time, but as I conclude, let's learn from the sign of Jonah. Let's hold on to God's word and his spirit as great stabilizers, and allow God to turn us into obedient, resilient disciples on mission. Let's be motivated by Jesus, our true Jonah, who was cast not into the sea, but he was cast onto the cross. And he was not rescued, but he died on the cross, bearing our sins, and he rose again for our salvation in order to save us and change us and send us out. So I'd encourage you this morning, that's the true meaning of Jonah. Jesus is our greater Jonah. He's the great Jonah who allowed himself to be sacrificed that we may be saved. Let's learn from this book. Let's learn from this prophet. Let's build these things into our lives so that we'll not be tossed about, up and down, unable to be really used by God. But let's build these things in by God's grace that we may be ready and equipped for every good work and bring glory to God. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do these things for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.